I hope you came to hear from God and not from me, although I am his representative. He does use people, so hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you came today to hear and to be changed. Amen? To be challenged, to be reminded. That's the purpose of coming together. When we come together, there's a strength that there's not when one is alone. How many of you know when the fire burns and you start a fire and you have one log, it doesn't burn all that long, does it? But when you put more logs on it, what happens? The fire begins to rise. The fire gets bigger and bigger. You make it big enough, you know, it gets up. I know a guy made it under the tree, you know, got the tree caught on fire. You know, the flames were shooting up. So controlled fire is good, you know, but sometimes it can get out of control. How many know that good things out of control can destroy you? Amen. It's true. You know, you can have a fire in the fireplace. It's nice and warm. It's wonderful. It's all safe. But get the fire out into the house and, you know, can destroy that whole home. So fire can be good or it can be bad. Either of those things. Amen. But this morning I want us to see real quick for, I'm going to take up, receive the offering, I should say. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at a couple of verses here. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says that we know. It says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sakes, yet he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." So it wasn't just through our ability, but through what he bore at the cross. Where did he really become completely poor? I mean, he left all of heaven already to come as a man, to live as a man. He says, "I will." He and the Father, of course, that was the plan. They look through. I mean, here's God the Father, the Son, the Holy. They're there. They're making the plan. And the Father says, "I know what I'll do." I mean, God thinks of everything that's possible to redeem man. And of course, him being God, he comes up with the best plan. The plan of redemption. And so Jesus, of course, leaving all of heaven in perfection with God, being God himself, for God's one. I mean, yes, he manifests in three distinct different persons and so forth. However, they are one. They operate as one. And so everybody says, "Well, what do you mean?" Because see, what God does is he uses what they call a, you know, it's like an analogy. It's the way we can understand him by. We understand sonship. So God says, "Hey, I send my son." We understand fatherhood. So God says, "I am like a father." And so he sent that plan. But where did Jesus become fully poor? Was at the cross. He became a man. We'll see that in a minute. I'm going to look at some of that. But when he became that man and he humbled himself, he said, "I choose to lay aside my godhood and I will supernaturally, by the Spirit of God who will overshadow Mary, supernaturally, she'll be pregnant, I'll be born." You know, Jesus knows, hey, you'll be born, Jesus, and you will be a man on the earth so that you can walk as a man, what, that was completely alive to God because he didn't have the sin nature in him. Why? Because his blood came from his Father God. He didn't come from man. Man's blood is what was tainted with sin. So through the DNA of man, because of Adam and Eve's sin, sin came into the world and came down to you and I. But where he became completely poor was at the cross. They stripped him of everything. They stripped his clothes off him. He had already been beaten. I mean, there wasn't much left of him. The Bible says he was marred to such a degree you can hardly tell it's a man. His meat was there. Many people don't even survive. It wasn't a Jewish flogging, but the Roman flogging that he went through. Many people didn't even survive it. They would have him chained. I mean, you're on a 2-foot post here. They're chained. He cannot move. And I said, most of them are already, you know how you're just anticipating that first crack of the whip. You know, and they would just, they're already grimacing, waiting. And we know that Jesus knew what was coming because he had already made his decision in the garden. I'm going all the way to death. But that's where he became completely poor. For you and I, he became poor what? Spiritually? Because God said he was made to be sin in man's place. The Bible says he bore the sin of the whole world, was laid on him. And he took that penalty to the cross and became completely poor because he was going for the first time in his life be separated from God. That's complete poverty, see. Complete poverty is being separated from God Almighty because you have no hope and you're without God. Now, in this world, as long as we're in this world, there is some hope because you can receive him. You can make your choice. But this is the part of life. This is the time that we are in. We are in a place called time, created by God Almighty. He knows the beginning from the end. And we're right in between. Because we get, you know, those of us, you know, that have received Christ, you're born again. Guess what? Our inward man was changed. We are now like God on the inside, in our spiritual being. We have been changed from darkness to light. In other words, our candle was lit. Why? Because we accepted the fact, we received the truth that Jesus is the one that came and paid the price for all sin. He's the one that lived the perfect life, perfectly fulfilled what the Bible calls the law or the Ten Commandments. And he's the one that was willing to say, Father, I lay down my life in the place of the world. In other words, under the old covenant, under the Old Testament, they were saved by believing that Jesus is coming. And every year, what did they do? They sacrificed the lamb. The lamb represented Jesus who was to come. And they would put their hands upon, you know, a goat also. And they would impart symbolically their sin to that and release the goat. In other words, we're releasing your sins. And the blood of the lamb, the Bible says, covered their sin. But when Jesus came, he was the Lamb of God who removed sin once for all. And that's where he became completely poor. At the cross. I mean, I just look at that verse. He became not only spiritually poor, but he also became physically poor. He had nothing left. They even took his robe off him, leaving him completely vulnerable, completely humiliated. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation when he took on the form of a man. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. He became the name. He became the representative of who God is to man. He said, I want to understand who man is. I want to understand how he lives. I want to understand his emotion. I want to go live amongst them. And he says, I am willing to be made poor that you, through my poverty, yes, physically as well. I mean, there he is. He has nothing left. He said, I bear your poverty. I bear your spiritual poverty. I bear your natural poverty. I become poor for you, that you, through my poverty, might be rich. Why? We receive access to God Almighty, all of heaven, where there's streets of gold, doors that are made of diamonds, where all that God is, all of His redemption, all of His life, all of His ability, all of His strength becomes ours. See, poverty is way more than just money. Money's kind of down at the bottom end. Money will come. We can all get money. You know, you make money a lot of ways. Millions of ways to make money. One idea from heaven, guess what? You're a millionaire. You say, well, I'm a millionaire. Yeah, but it belongs to God. See, because our life belongs to Him. That's why we owe our life to Him. He gave His all for you and I, down to the point of death. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about this. This will fit in good with my message today. But when we bring something to the Lord, we're just bringing a representation of our life, saying, Lord, I want to give back part of who I am to you so that we can continue to feed the poor. We can continue to help the widow. We can continue to keep the church doors open so that people's lives can be changed and they can come to know Jesus as Lord. Amen. So there's two ways that we give in the New Testament. You know, the Bible says that those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And then here in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, let every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, it's not something that's pleaded out of you. You know, if somebody's going to promise you something big, if you give to their ministry, don't give. Just don't do it, because there's no guarantee of a great promise that God has said, well, if you give X number of dollars, you know, you'll be blessed. No, God is not the genie in the sky. He's a God of relationship, a God who you can know. And when you know Him, He will care for you, the Bible says. When we cast our care and we put our trust in Him, we're going to talk about that today. When we really trust Him, when we really surrender and say, Jesus, You're Lord. You are King. Is our life really surrendered to Him? And I'm just going to go ahead and take this into our message today, because this is really what we're talking about. How did God really reach man? And what is our responsibility in that? And when we receive the Lord, what do we do? How do we really surrender? What does that look like? You know, because man, see, we're in time, like I said. We're in between eternity past and eternity future. Place called time. Time is, a lot of times we don't understand that or we don't think about it in that way, but time is a created thing. It's just the way, I mean, you know, time goes on whether we count the time or not. But we've set up a way, you know, by the sun to count the hours. And well, there's 24. We divide it up, you know, how long the sun goes. And they figure out, well, there's 24 hours in the day and, you know, 168 hours in the week, I believe, something like that. And so time is where we are right now. God says, okay, I'll set up time. This is the time of man upon the earth. Sometime it's going to run out. This age or this world system will stop. And it'll be over. And Jesus will return. And we'll all answer to Him. Now, if we die before that time, the Bible says we are in the presence of the Lord. And then we have to, obviously, we give answer to God for our life. And He says, what did you do with the way that I made for you to know me and to receive the fullness of the forgiveness of sin? What did you do with that? Did you receive my son whom I sent to show you who I am. I sent him there just to let you know, hey, I love you. His life displayed my will, my purpose for man. His life showed what I wanted for man. That I, number one, that I love man. You say, well, if God loves man, then why do we need to receive him? Because that's the way God set it up. There are spiritual laws that God put into motion. A law is something that works every time. You know, like the law of gravity. We don't question the law of gravity unless you're just stupid. You know, I can stand here and I can wish all I want. I'm going to walk out here in the midair and it's not going to happen. Why? Because there is a spiritual, there's a physical law that God put on the planet called gravity because we need it to stay here. I mean, if gravity disappears, guess what? None of us are going to be on the earth. We're flying off at 24,000 miles an hour. You know, however, you know, something like that. Thousands of miles an hour. And you're going somewhere out there in space and we don't know where you'll be. You know, because all the pressure in you, you'll just explode and you'll be a whole bunch of pieces. So anyway, you'll no longer be beautiful. You know, I'm sorry, but you know. So anyway, I wasn't trying to be funny, but there are physical laws. And just like there's physical laws that govern the earth, God put up spiritual laws. And he says, hey, if you will believe in your heart, believe in your heart. Well, what's your heart? Your heart is your very innermost being. It's the spirit of man. It's where God created and started the creation of man. It goes in. It's what? We're not just a fleshly person. You don't just have flesh and blood and bone. You know, and electrons, neutrons, protons, all those things. DNA, you know, and go down further, you know, down to the quark, I guess it is, or something they found. they keep going further and further, you know, and they found out, hey, really, you're made from sound. You know, wow, yeah, I believe it. God said, and it was. You know. And so there are laws that govern this natural world, and there's laws that govern God's kingdom. And the Bible says the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus sets us free from that law of sin and death. The law of sin and death was the law that came into existence when Adam and Eve decided to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Very simple. I mean, God only gave, you know, one command, you know. You'd think they could keep it, you know. And they did for a long time. We don't know exactly how long, but they did. They were keeping it. But how many knows we have? We've been talking about it and we've been studying him. We have an enemy and his name is Satan. What was he doing here on the earth? He was cast out of heaven to the earth. That was his punishment. You go to the earth. So Eve and Adam, they had a tempter. And so he tempts them. He's probably evidently he's pretty good at it because when he was in heaven, he tempted the angels. Mm-hmm. You know, took a third of the angels with him. That's pretty good. But apparently now they've been sealed. Their time of choice is over as well. They're servants of God and they help us. Praise God for angels. Now you don't see them, but they're here. They're in the spiritual realm. They're in a different realm than you are. Just because we live in three dimensions, see, doesn't mean, you know, that other dimensions don't exist. They do. Boy, I'm getting a little deeper than I usually do, but they do exist. Just like if you saw somebody, okay, get this idea. If you see me and I'm in a two-dimensional world and you're living in a three-dimensional world And so I'm walking along, and I come to this, let's just say there's a stump here, you know. There's a tree stump here, and there's one over here. It's sealed in. There's four apparent walls here. But I'm in a two-dimensional world. That means I can go this way, and I can go this way, right? Forwards, backwards. I can go this way, and I can go this way. But now there's something in my way. And you're looking at me from a three-dimensional world. You said, well, why don't you just step over it? Simple. But see, I'm living in a two-dimensional world. I don't understand up and down. See, I don't understand to step over. All I understand is two dimensions. But I get in contact with my Father, and I realize, hey, I step over, I get over the wall, I'm on the other side of the wall. Everybody looks at me, it's a miracle. But would you see that as a miracle? You would not. And so God looks down many times, and He can do what appears to be the impossible to us is possible with Him. See, all things are possible with God. See, things can change because He's looking at us from a different dimension, a different world. Really, it's one and the same, and a lot of the spiritual things do affect our world. But when we receive God, it puts us into His class. It puts us, we're in His class, but I mean, when we receive Christ, it makes us alive and open to His world. So then, He said, what is it that makes us born again? It's faith. He said, we're saved by grace through what? That faith, believing that God is able, that God did the work, that He's able to cause us to change from the inside out. When we receive that, you say, well, faith, isn't that just faith in something? No, it's not faith in something that doesn't exist. It's faith in what God said. See, that was Adam and Eve's problem. They didn't have complete faith. Eve saying, Satan comes to him, did God really say to you, Eve, if you eat that tree, you think you're going to die? No, see, they didn't understand. God said, you will surely die. So Eve eats the apple. What happened to Eve? Apparently, looking at her from the outside, what happened to her? Nothing. Adam sees her. He thought, well, she didn't just die. So he takes the apple and he takes the bite, but they did die. They just did not immediately die physically, see? We live in a place called time. We're in between. They didn't die physically. They died what? Spiritually, on the inside. The life of God left them. They had been clothed in the glory of God. Suddenly they look on one another. They did not know good and evil. They realize we are naked. We are without God. We are separated from Him. And God comes. Adam, where are you? He didn't know where he was. Sure, he knew where he was. They'd been walking with him. They knew he knew where he was, where they really were. But they're trying to hide themselves. And he says, Adam, where are you? Have you eaten from that fruit that I told you not to? Did you eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil? Yeah, Lord, Eve says, yeah, I did eat it, but the serpent, he tricked me. He beguiled me. He talked me into it. He tempted me. Okay, on your belly you'll crawl. Well, Adam, what's wrong? You know, did you eat? Why did you eat at that tree, in other words, you know? He's standing there. Yeah, I did. That woman, she got me. She tricked me. It was her fault. So the blame game begins. It was the woman's. It was his fault. You know, it was Satan's fault. It was, how many know that game still goes on today sometimes? It's the devil's fault. It's so-and-so's fault. Well, I'm not getting saved because so-and-so. No, it's between you and the Father. It's a decision that you have to see the truth of what God is and who Jesus is. That he did, yes. He became poor at the cross. He left all for you and I. He became the sin substitute. Amazing. Amazing salvation. He said, so great a salvation. Why? Because it restored man back to relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who bore the penalty of the spiritual death that Adam and Eve had done. And yes, eventually they died physically as well. They did not finish that 1,000 years, which will eventually be finished in the 1,000-year reign. You know, we'll live 1,000 years, you know, God, but to God, you know, we don't understand everything about it, because God is vast. Who can know all of the wisdom of God? No man. But we have access to it. Through what? Through Him. Through Christ Jesus, we have access to God. And we can gain wisdom from Him for this natural world. How to walk in this world, how to live in this world, how to conduct our lives in this world, how to receive what? Strength from God. See, we don't do it. Everybody says, well, I'm trying to get saved. Well, you can't try to get saved. We can't, on our own human effort, do anything. But in relationship with God, walking with Him, receiving His divine ability on the inside of us, exchanging our natural weakness for His strength that comes and lives within. See, that's the grace that He saved us with. That's the true grace of God. You said, grace, what is great? Grace is, yes, it's an unmerited favor, but it's much more than that. It's God's divine influence that comes and fills our heart. See, a lot of times people say, well, I don't want to walk with God. Of course, if you're not saved, who would want to walk with God? That'd be boring. If you don't believe, why would I want to walk with God? You know, not it's but once we receive Him, see, then His heart comes into our life. Our desires begin to come like His. And we, what, first of all, we humble ourselves and receive truth. That's what I want to see. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Wow, that's not exactly the way I had written down, but that's okay. It's very close. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's just start here at the 5th verse. We're going to read a few verses here. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, we've been talking a little bit about surrender here. Jesus humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And one day every tongue will. Hopefully before you pass from the earth, because then we have to answer to God. And then there's no hope if we don't receive Him. There's eternal punishment. And we don't want anyone, wasn't really created that way at the beginning. God didn't want man to ever be punished forever, to go, you know, be separated from Him. But man fell. We were born into a fallen race, whether we like it or not. We didn't really have a lot of choice about that, but we get a choice of where we're going to go for the rest of eternity. See, eternity past, eternity future. We're moving through a place called time. Now, in that time, we don't have a glorified body yet. The Bible promises us a glorified body, but we don't walk in a glorified body yet, but we have a glorified spirit. Our spirit's been made alive to God. And so, therefore, we have a challenge. In this life, we have to overcome the deeds of the body. In other words, we keep our body in subjection to God, to what God's will is, to God's purpose. That's our job. You know, our body doesn't care, really. It just kind of goes along for the ride, but it still has certain desires. See, our body has desires. If I have a piece of coconut cream pie, that's fine, right? But if I want 9 coconut cream pies, that might be a problem to me, see? He said, well, how come Pastor Doug, he got to 400 pounds? Well, he's been eating coconut cream pie like every day, you know? Even though coconut cream pie is good. You know, it tastes good. It's great, you know? But too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. Now, not too much of God. He's unlimited. He's good. You know, I'm not talking there. See, there's a little bit of problem there. It's not a perfect analogy, I know. But it's, you know, we can have certain things. He's given us all things in this world to enjoy. Yet, he wants us to what? Have what? Self-control. He wants us to exercise that in our life. Why? Because God sets boundaries because he's love. And he set boundaries to live by because he knows what's best for us. And we think we do in our natural thinking. See, we have natural thinking. But God is a spirit. And we are spirit. And so, in that, from that realm, we're to begin to, from that spiritual man that's born again, we're to govern in this life and to walk in this life accordingly. Now here, it says Jesus humbled himself and became that man. And we've been talking about submission. And so here we can see that Jesus, he was found, verse 8, in the fashion of the man and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He decided, I'm going to obey God all the way to the fullness of what God has asked me to do, which was to be the substitute. That was his call. For all mankind, and to give my life a ransom for all. In other words, I am the one that will redeem or purchase, buy back mankind. And he says, now whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what will be saved. In other words, whoever does not call on the name of the Lord will not be saved. That would be the reverse, wouldn't it? The opposite. Now, Jesus' desire and God's desire, he says, my desire is that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. However, God has chosen, obviously, as we see from Adam and Eve and so forth, he gave them free will. You don't have to come to me. You can reject me. You can live your own life. You do whatever you want. But there's consequences. There's a death. Once we finish this physical life, there's no more opportunity to call upon the name of Jesus. We have made our decision, and it's been sealed for an eternity. And if we reject him, then it's eternally separated from God in a place called hell, which is where God originally designed for Satan and his demons. Maybe it's not so bad for them. I don't know. But to be totally and completely separated from God forever, without hope, no possibility of hope. See, that's the devastation of hell, really. Yeah, there's torment, there's flames, there's worms that eat on you physically, but there's the torment of knowing in your mind There's no hope of life for me. No hope of eternal life. It's going to be this eternal death forever and ever and ever. And that's the separation that Jesus experienced at the cross in our place, so that we would not be separated from God when we call upon Him. Anyway, hallelujah. But there's also a place when we receive Christ, how many know, that we, that's where we begin. We humble ourselves and we receive the Lord into our life. But then what? We have to walk with Him. It's not a journey that we do on our own. And that's been my heart's desire, to walk with God. How many know when you walk with God, we're talking about the Creator of the universe. I mean, there can be some scary moments because God's holy. The Bible says God is holy. In other words, He is perfectly righteous. He does the right thing. He emits holiness. It's beautiful. And He's awesome. And He's full of power. But He's fully holy. And in this life, yeah, we're holy on the inside. But sometimes our outward man doesn't always show what God has really want us to do from the inward man. And when we approach God, there's a something we need to reverence Him and we honor Him. Why? Because He is God Almighty and He is worthy. Why? Because He paid the price so that I can have access to the Father. And that's what makes me what? Unafraid. He said, I can come boldly to the throne of grace without fear, and I can receive grace and mercy to help me in my time of need. Why? Because His blood cried out mercy once for all for me, so that I can now fellowship with my Father in heaven in a different realm, in the realm of a spiritual realm. Yes, it's from this realm, but from this realm, I can connect with His realm. And I have a relationship right here. And when I walk in this relationship with the Father, then I have a responsibility as I learn of Him to allow that relationship to affect me this way as well. See, my relationships here change also. Why? It changes for the good. Why? Because I know who my Father is. I begin to understand who He is, who I am, and who we are together when we walk together with God, hand in hand with Him. Not by my own strength, not in my own power, but in His strength, in His power, in His ability. Paul said, when I am weak in my natural man, then am I strong. Because His strength gives power to all of my weakness. And I become totally dependent on Him. See, to humble ourselves is to become totally dependent upon God. To give up our own dreams, our own desires, and to pick up His purpose and to find His purpose in His will for our lives. See, God had a purpose for Jesus' life, to go to the cross, to pay the price, to make access to the Father. Now He desires for us to walk with Him and fulfill the place that He has called us to be. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 for a minute. Now here we see we have to, that's a big key. We see here again, we've been looking through the Word of God, but here we see again a humility, a surrender, a giving in to God's purpose and God's plan. See, that's what Jesus did. He said, I humble myself and I accept what the Father wants me to do as a man. Okay, chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man could boast. In other words, our own effort can never save us. us trying to get good enough will never work. We had to have a substitute. And we must put complete faith in what Jesus did at the cross alone. Only His blood, which was not tainted with sin, could save mankind. It says, for we, here's what I said, we were talking about what He's called us to do. For we are His workmanship created, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a plan and a purpose, things for you to do that He already planned out, because He's God, what? Of eternity past and God of eternity future. He saw time and He says, I see you in His foreknowledge. He says, I've already got a plan. Number one is that you know Him, that we come to know Christ. We come to receive Him as our Savior, we say, or as our substitute, as the one that paid the penalty for our sin, number one. And then what? To walk with Him in the works which He already ordained for us to do. He's already got things that He has planned for your life that are greater that can come from this natural mind, see? Things that maybe you're not gifted for, but God gifts you for. Amen. Why? Because it's Him, His grace that works in us, His ability. And we can walk with Him. And that is what we do when we become His child and we choose in our heart. Jesus chose to be obedient to the Father's plan. And we choose to be obedient to the Father's plan. So, we see here in Luke chapter 14, that's my, you know, where Jesus said, you want to come after me? All of you that have been born again, praise the Lord. Chapter 25, verse 25. Now we've looked at this some before. And it says here, and there went great multitudes with Him. And He turned, He said unto them, if any man come to me, He says, now this is for the disciple, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. Now the word hate is there, which is pretty strong. But what is he saying here? In other words, to love less your father and mother, your husband and wife, your children, even your own life, less than we love Him. See, hate's a very strong word, but that's what He's saying. In comparison to our love to God, it would be like hate almost, because we love Him first. However, how many know if we really love God, if we really love Him, we're going to love our family even more? Amen. Why? We're going to pray for them. We care for them because the love of God becomes a part of our life. See, we're going after Him. When we love Him, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us and gave Himself. We love Him. Why? He first loved you and I. And that's the love that we've been talking about that was displayed, what, at the cross, where He became that sin. He bore the spiritual death that was placed upon man. You'll be separated from God for all eternity now, Adam and Eve. You will surely die. And they did die, not physically immediately, but spiritually. And then later they did die physically. But I'm certain that they believed that Jesus was coming because God promised Him. In Genesis chapter 3:15, He says, you, through the seed of woman, I'm going to send the Savior, basically, is what He's saying. He said, He will bruise your head, and you will bruise His heel. I'm going to send that. Anyway, that's not exactly, but I'll read it. Genesis 3:15, he says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, Satan is going to be defeated, and this deception is going to be removed through the seed of the woman. And what was the seed of the woman? We know that from Adam and Eve, you know, and from there comes all mankind, Noah, and so forth. And moving forward through the seed, ultimately through the lineage that was there, through the covenant that God made he promised Adam and Eve, and that he made with Abraham, really, and Noah, and Isaac, and Jacob, and all the way down through David, and all the way to Christ. And through the seed of that woman, he says, until finally what? Mary was found. Favor in the eyes of the Lord. The fullness of time had come. It's time now. Through the old covenant, God was proving to mankind that he could not keep those spiritual laws that he had set up. They tried with all their heart. They tried naturally. They couldn't do it in their own strength. It was impossible. Why? Because their nature, the very core of their being, was under spiritual death. They were alive physically, but spiritually they were dead. And that's what happens when we receive Jesus. We say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on that cross for my sin. I believe that you became sin in my place, and I confess you. I believe it in my heart. I say it with my mouth, Lord. Jesus is Lord. I surrender. I humble myself, Lord. I need a Savior. Because all man's sinful, separated from God. Can't know God without the relationship and receiving the price that Jesus paid for all mankind. That's sins. That's simple. And sometimes it's so simple, people miss it. They think, well, I got to do something. Don't I have to do something? No. I have to believe that in my heart. So you have to realize that's the gift of God. He imparts to us. And we say, yeah, I see that now. Okay. I can receive the Savior. And I can confess him as Lord. And he'll change me from the inside out. See, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation or a new species of being that didn't exist before. The old is gone and the new has come. The old man, he passes away. That old nature on the inside passes away. And we become new, where? From the inside out. Now, if you had a full head of hair, you don't suddenly change and become bald, you know. I did that on purpose. Because, see, most people say, well, if you're bald before you got saved, you'll be bald after. But, see, if you've got a whole head of hair, you know, you'll still have a whole head of hair, okay? It's not going to change that physical person, you know, the way you appear in the natural. It's going to change what? The heart. Because the Bible says it's the human heart that's wicked. You know, out of the abundance of the heart. And see, sin comes out of the heart, like murders. Everybody says, well, why is those things? Why does that happen? Because man is sinful, separated from God, see. And it all depends on who trains you. Some people get trained to kill. Well, if their nature is death, it doesn't bother them to kill. Doesn't affect them at all. Doesn't bother them. I just kill somebody. No big deal. Not that big a thing. You know, and the enemy comes. Of course, he comes and adds to those desires that creep up in there, and he tells them what to do. He can't just kill you. Why? He doesn't have that authority. He has to talk you into doing it or somebody else to do it against you. He can't just kill somebody. He'd be killing people all over the place, and he is, in the sense that he's deceiving them That's what the, you know, we looked at that. I guess it was what, Wednesday night? We looked at deceiver. Satan's a great deceiver. That's his job. That's one of his names. That's one of the things he does. Because he comes and he tempts. But we have authority over him, certain amount of authority, just being a human. Because you're in a human race. He can't just come and possess you. Now, you know, certain things he can cause to happen and he can trick you and get you to receive certain things. But he can't just possess you. If he could, he'd start possessing everybody. But he does work through other things. You know, he brings brokenness and he tries to bring trauma. And he gets people to do things to people so that you're against God. And then you're open. So you get open to his tactics and his ways. But the same way, God says, I am life. Today, he said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Why? Because he is life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we come to him, he says, anybody that comes to me, I will what? In no wise cast out. See, that was a total death. There was a total submission of Jesus to the Father, humbling himself. And when we humble ourselves, as it says here, see, we humble ourselves. We say, I choose to walk with you, Jesus. I choose to become your child. I choose to be your friend. And there's life that begins to flow. It's a life, what? From another dimension. But it flows into us right here. We're our spiritual man. We connect God, see. Our natural mind, we talk to one another. But with our spiritual heart, we believe in our spirit, in our heart. Amen. And we confess him. And we say, Lord, yes, I want your purpose. I want your plan for me. That's really, you know, humbling yourself. Say, hey, I'm rejecting the lie of the enemy. And I'm receiving the truth that you say, Lord. I mean, even Adam and Eve, I believe they said, hey, we've had enough of that lie. They fell a long way. They fell from the very glory of God, from knowing God personally, being alive to God, to being separated from him into a spiritual death. Hallelujah. But we get to receive that same life. Amen. The same life that was in Jesus can be in us, and we can walk with him, and we can begin to develop that relationship and walk in those works which he's already prepared for us to do. Amen. Like walking with love. Having joy, right? Having the peace that passes understanding. Goodness. How many know goodness? We need a lot of goodness in this world, don't we? Amen. We need a little more goodness. Amen. Kindness. How many think we need more kindness? That comes into you as part of who you become and who you are and who you begin to walk with God. And these things, these fruit that are part of your new man begin to come forth. The goodness, the faithfulness, right? Gentleness. Instead of being uncontrolled, we become self-control. We don't have to respond the wrong way to people. Say, you know, well, there's a certain amount of that. Yes, people can be nice. People can be kind. So, well, they can do that without God to some degree. But at some point, it always breaks down. You know. But with God, there's unlimited supply. Amen. His love, see, his love moves in, the Bible says. All right. Well, glory to God. That's our message today about submitting and humbling and seeing a place that Jesus went to, a place of death. And that kind of we go there too. I mean, well, we don't kind of, we do. We die what? To our natural desires to receive his desire, his purpose, his plan, what he wants for our life. And that's where it begins with us confessing him as Lord, which most of you have, but then saying, Lord, I want to find those works that you called me to do. I want to walk with you hand in hand. And that comes just like Jesus did by what? Humbling ourselves. And sometimes people think humility or meekness is weakness, but it's not. It's a strength. Why? Because we're putting our dependency that I need God, that He is all. I am nothing and He is everything. Yet in Him, I'm everything because I have His strength and His ability to trade my weaknesses for. Where I'm weak, I allow His strength to move in me. See, that's really the true grace of God. That's the true, you know, grace is just, you know, unmerited favor. It's just what He gives us freely. Hallelujah. See, we are free to walk with Him. We are free to walk away from sin. We are free to be His friend. We are free to know Him. We are free. True freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free in what He gets to do. And we've got things we can enjoy because God has promised us that the world doesn't have a guarantee of. Those that don't know Him don't have that guarantee. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you're here today, and I suppose after that message, we need to say, if you've never received Jesus as Lord, we invite you to do so. You're welcome to come down. We'll talk with you or pray with you here. If you want to come to the front, sit on the front row here. We'd be glad if you want to do that. Very simply, we're just going to pray with you. Say, hey, Jesus, you know, you can do it in your own time, yes, but we would invite you to make sure of that, because once we pass from this life, there's not another opportunity. Say, well, I'm not going to die anytime soon, and we believe you won't. We're trusting God you won't, but should you pass, you want to be ready. Amen. To stand before God. Because we will give an account for our life. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 simply says, well, it says, verse 8 says, but what is it? The word is near me, even in your heart, near thee, even in thy heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we speak, we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the heart confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. So if you're there today, you say, well, yeah, I've confessed Jesus is Lord, but maybe you've walked away from Him or you chose to, and you want to recommit to God. We'll be glad to pray with you. It's not hard. You know, if you walked away, you said, well, I've decided to go my own way. You can always come back to God as long as you don't go too far. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a place. The Bible said His Spirit won't always strive with man. There are places we can walk and we could go so far to God. Not that God wouldn't take us back, but we won't want to come back. Can't find it in us. And we don't want anyone to go there. Amen. But we know that we want to walk with Him, hand in hand, like Jesus walked with Him, and be transformed, the Bible says. We become transformed until we're finally into the very image of Christ. It's the journey that we're all on. And we're dying to the natural man and living to that spiritual man on the inside. Putting to death the deeds of the body and letting the life of God come forward. So, there is that, and we confess Him as our Lord, and we want to remember that there are things that He has planned. You know, and sometimes we can be stubborn. We can do our own thing still. You're free. You can choose. God left it that way because He didn't want robots. He wants people that are, you know, fully submitted to Him. I mean, do you want to, You know, how many people in here are married? You know, if you're married, you know, you want your wife just to do everything you say, or do you want her to willingly love you? You know, you don't want her just, no, I want it to be of the heart. You know, could you imagine that? Well, how come you love me? Well, because you said so. You know, because you said to. Why did you do that for me, honey? Well, you know, you said, you know, I love you because, and I did it by your command. You know, like a little robot. You know, here's your dinner, honey. Here you go. You know? Shall we sit and eat? You know? Let us have positive communication. You know, no, you want their heart. You want who they are. That's what God wants. He just wants a heart. He wants our life, really. He wants to give us life. When we surrender to Him, that life comes. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. We'll pray. If on any of those things you want prayer for anything, you came, said, well, I need healing in my body, we'll be glad to pray for you. God will bring healing. We have healing available here. Hallelujah. Jesus is also the healer. He paid the price for it. And you can receive it. It's not hard. Just a matter of, you know, getting in agreement with you. And we can help bring that to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that we have the ability to see you, Lord, that you went all the way to death in our place, Jesus. And that, Lord, we can humble ourselves and we can receive your life and we can then begin to walk with you, Lord, and to find our place in the works that you want us to accomplish in our life, Father. We want to know you, Lord. We want to have that relationship with you. And we thank you, Lord God, for all that are here today, that you'll give us grace to continue to walk with you, Father, that we will receive your divine ability on the inside of us, and we'll allow your life to govern us, not just from the inside, but here into the outside, where it affects our natural life as well. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray today. Amen and amen.